I mean, Maria just said, you know, Bob, you know, we're all, this has a treat or dick to it?
Treat, no, treat, well, oh, on Zoom.
Okay, call to order.
Newest toy.
This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to Asbury Park Press and to the New River Times by posting it in the Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2022. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Ms. Hornleitner.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Mr. Crowley.
Here.
Mr. Barakia.
Here.
Mr. Bombs.
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein.
Here. Please stand for a sign of prayer and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and this is the fun part, so let me come down there real quick. Proclamation from the Atlantic Highlands Mayor and Council to Chief David Rossback. To the residents of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, on the occasion of his retirement after 42 years of dedication and service to the community, we wish to thank Chief Rossback for all he has done for Atlantic Highlands. This honor is bestowed upon Chief David Rossback to honor his dedication and service and many various efforts on behalf of the community. Chief Rossback is a lifelong resident of the borough who attended Atlantic Highlands Elementary School and Henry Hudson Regional School. He resides with his wife, Michelle, and his two children, Benjamin and Sophia. In 1980, David participated as a police explorer and became a police dispatcher in 1984. In 1985, at the age of 18, he became a police officer with the Atlantic Highlands Police Department. He rose to the ranks, being promoted to sergeant in 2005, captain in 2010, and chief in 2019. In his name of the department, Chief Rossback served as a field training supervisor, accreditation manager, where the department obtained accredited status from the New Jersey State Association of Chiefs of Police. Chief Rossback also made small town policing the department mantra, as well as implementing the 25 is 25 campaign against speeding. He was a member of the Monmouth County Police Chiefs Association, the New Jersey State Association of Chiefs of Police, and the International Association of Chiefs of Police. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Atlantic Highlands governing body urge all residents to join us in praising Chief David Rossback for his 42 years of dedication and service to our community by thanking him and wishing him the best of the health and happiness for years to come. Thank you.
Just want to say thank you to our mayor and council for always supporting the police department. Everyone here during my tenure, been very supportive of the police, and I want to thank everyone that came tonight. Someone came for this for me. Everybody really appreciate it. Looking forward to my retirement. Thank you.
Thanks for everything, Dave.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, now the approval of previous meeting minutes for February 18th and February 24th.
So moved.
Crowley, seconds.
And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Here, yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Minutes are approved.
Okay, thank you. Now unfinished business, ordinance 3-2022. An ordinance amending chapter 139, article 2, entitled Parking of the Code of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands. Do I need a motion and second?
Crowley moves.
I'll second it, with a question, to Rob. Did we look into acres and everything that we talked about?
Yes, I'll explain all that.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
So, very quickly, everybody, let me quickly go over what the ordinance is again to remind us, and then I'll go over Councilman Murphy's question. This ordinance makes some changes to the parking in the Holly Tree Lot, and so overnight parking permits. Yep, it's on. Okay. Overnight parking permits would be permitted at the Railroad Avenue Municipal Parking Lot in the Holly Tree Lot. Issued by the police department. It also does away with the restriction on the restriction on overnight parking on along the western curb line of Hennessy Boulevard between Center Avenue and Bay Avenue, and it provides a time limit of 6 hours for parking in the Holly Tree Lot, except for overnight parking permits issued by the police department.
Which is an extension from 2 hours to 6.
Yes. So there was a question raised at the last meeting regarding whether the parking lot was subject to any type of, was on Green Acres property and therefore subject to any type of restriction. I took a look around along with the borough engineer and the administrator. There's nothing on this block is a Green Acres parcel. After some communications with the Harbor Commission, they seem to remember that the property might have been purchased with regard to the skate park, property might have been purchased using Monmouth County open space grants. That's not the same as Green Acres. And in any event, even if it was purchased with Green Acres money, you can still charge a fee for use of the facility or any attendant facility, like a parking lot, so long as the fee you collect is segregated and kept in a separate account and you're restricted to using it for open space or recreational purposes. So yes, you can charge a fee even if it was Green Acres, but we don't have any information to date that says that it is part of Green Acres. It's not on our Rossi. It is on the county Rossi, but like I said before, we believe that it was purchased using county open space funds, not Green Acres funds. And Mr. Farragina had reached out to Green Acres and said, is this something that we used your money to purchase? And please let us know, because we're just trying to get our records straight. This is, keep in mind, this is all before Mr. Farragina's time, all before my time. And they said, basically, no, but we're going to confirm and check.
That's exactly.
Okay.
And the Harbor Commission has been contacted as well. The borough administrator reached out, so we're squared away on that.
That's correct. I contacted both the commission's chairman as well as Mr. Lufley there as well. They're all in the loop.
So to summarize what I just said in a shorter sentence was, it's not on Green Acres according to the records that we have now. Even if it was, you could still charge the fee. You just have to put in a separate account, and you'd be restricted as to how you could use the money for that. But you can go ahead, and if it's your pleasure, pass the ordinance tonight, and everything will be just fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Thank you to both of you for doing all the follow-up on that.
Okay, so now we need a motion.
Look, apparently public comment. It's public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any comments about the new ordinance? Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, 9130 Avenue. Thank you for the research. I was hoping that's the way it was going to go. One thing I noticed driving up Hennessy Boulevard today was there's two signs in that stretch between Bay and Center. No overnight parking and 2-hour parking. The changes we made is to make Hennessy Boulevard the same from the trail all the way to East Pine Mill. So the signs between Bay and Center all have to come down.
Right.
Just wanted to make that clear.
I got two hands raised at this time. I'll bring you over, Ms. Brown first.
Hello? Ms. Brown, hello? Yes. I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
So that's what you guys feel and you want to do. That's up to you.
We need an address.
Okay. And Ocean Boulevard, apartment 3.
Go ahead.
I am still concerned that you are going to charge a fee to park in the Hollow Tree parking lot. I also heard that they're going to put lights in down there, which was one of the things that we agreed not to do on the law committee. So if that's what you intend to do, it's your bank.
Are we putting lights in there?
It's not part of this ordinance.
No.
No.
It's not part of that ordinance, but just to think about it, I've heard that you're going to put lights down there, which is one of the things that the Harbor Commission, when I was on it, was against, so.
Ms. Brown, we can look into that, moving forward as far as the lights can concern, but this ordinance tonight is not, regarding that, so.
And Ms. Brown, we, parking committees never raised the issue of lighting, never, just to be clear. Maybe somebody else has discussed it on some other forum, but not parking.
That's true, but in my opinion, I don't think it's right to charge people for a parking permit down at the Hollow Tree parking lot.
And, the discussion of fees has really been focused solely on overnight parking. And that's so that we can keep cars circulating, so that there's more additional parking during the day.
Mr. Crowley, I don't know if you've been down there probably in the last 12 months, but I go down there every single night and ride through, and there is not an issue any longer with parking. My opinion, as a former commissioner of the Health Commission.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Linesworth. Josh Linesworth, 60 Bayside Drive. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I know, Councilman, Crowley has been saying 6 hours in the Hollow Tree lot, but 6 hours is not really enough for somebody who takes the ferry into the city, goes to a show, has dinner, and comes back. So I would suggest that you amend it to make it like 8 hours on matinee days, which is Wednesday and Saturday. I don't understand the logic of the 6 hours to begin with, but I'm not going after that. But I know 6 hours is not enough for somebody who wants to go into the city, go to a show or a concert, travel to matinee, I assume, after 8 p.m. It's not an issue, right? Or 6 p.m. I think this is 8 to 6. 6 hours is not enough. And so I think you should amend it to Wednesdays and Saturdays, which are matinee days.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Brown is still up. Ms. Brown, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Your hand is still raised. Are you intending to speak?
I'm sorry. I'm just concerned that it not only affects people in my building here, San Ocean Boulevard, but it affects people on 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue, where they might want to park overnight. I don't have that issue because I pay for my parking, but I think it's unfair to suddenly charge somebody a parking permit and paying for the parking overnight. That's all.
Thank you.
Dave Rossback, 26 Davidson Avenue. I think, someone that's involved with that ordinance down there, the whole purpose of the six-hour parking and the town sort of taking that over, parking, correct me if I'm wrong, was to keep the lot free for people that are, getting their hair done downtown, that are using the trail, maybe to ride out to Sandy Hook. And the purpose was not for the commuters or the people that are going into the city to park, that there's plenty of other parking in all of the lots for someone that's gonna use, go to a movie or a play in the city, right? So, I don't know why we're even talking about, River Ferry parking there. The whole purpose of that ordinance is to keep the, New York Ferry people, parking in different spots.
Thank you. Thanks. Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, 91/3rd Avenue, parking just addressed for matinee day, was that there is a definite difference on Wednesdays, Saturdays, the party doesn't run out of time, but there's probably 50 more cars when things were normal in the westernmost lot on Wednesdays and matinee, the Broadway matinee days. But again, as was discussed in the presentation, there's room for 1,000 cars in the C Street four lots. And rarely is the westernmost lot full. Very rare. So there is no need for the ferry commuters to park in Olive Tree Lot. There's plenty of room on the C Street.
Okay, thank you. Any other hands? Good. So I need a motion and a second?
Mark Crowley moves, or seconds.
And now, roll call.
You can do it all in favor.
All in favor?
I already did a motion second.
Okay, now I need a motion and a second.
Crowley moves.
Murphy, second.
And a roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes.
Ordinance 3, 2022 has passed.
Okay, now we have, public comment. It's on the agenda items only. So, once again, state your name, address, and if you're on Zoom, raise your hand. So, anyone, questions on the consent? Anyone?
No hands raised.
Go. Oh, come on up. I just want to start by saying I am a patriot, so that I hope that everything I'm about to say that they come across as being patriotic. I love 4th of July. However, going back to wildlife certification, fireworks, the worst thing, nesting birds. So I'm wondering if this company that we're approving, have they looked into silent fireworks?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, the whole country is in the United Kingdom, found fireworks and can read this from the hill, which is a conservative movement. It shouldn't be hard to understand how fireworks, loud, unpredictable bangs, and whizzing explosions can cause such delays about to have such negative effects on so many veterans with PTSD, children on the autism spectrum, survivors of gun violence, pets, and even wildlife and farm animals who can be suffering until July. Yet there is an easy way to change that by lowering the impact of the loud, sudden, unpredictable, oppressive noises coming from fireworks. Silent fireworks aren't an invention. In fact, they've been around for a long time as part of regular fireworks displays, including the comet display that shoots up in the air with a long, sparkly tail, or the flying fish whose scattering sparkles swim out in a silent boom like tadpoles. These fireworks actually display the most stunning colors, more so than day explosions. The most explosive fireworks are the ones with the loudest booms, have little color because the sports can shatter from which create little stars and then signature colors are bright to the field. So I just want to say that again, like the past said, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't want to cause problems right now, but in the future, we should probably be considering what would be better to use in the environment. Also, if anyone has a dog, and I haven't been able to get it for the past 10 years because the dog has to hang back because it's going to die. And I know there are other people in town for the same way.
Thank you.
That's a really good idea. Do you mind forwarding, if you've got any information of what companies, you know, manufacture that, and what we can do is... Okay.
Because we can pass that on to our fire department for sure.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm I just wanted to know, we've been using garden state fireworks for the past, the doctor is the contractor, so he's going to be the contractor for fireworks.
I don't have the name of the.
I believe it was, the same one.
Whoever it was last year.
Okay.
They are same.
Okay.
Ms. Brown?
Hello? Ms. Broughton? Hi, I have a problem. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So now we can, I assume that one is good. All right, so we're gonna move on to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 57, awarding contract for the fireworks display. Resolution 58, authorizing the sale surplus of a 2003 Crown Victoria. 59, authorizing the sale surplus of a 2008 Toro Groundsmaster. 60, authorizing the sale of the surplus property 2012 Dodge Charger. 61 is miscellaneous items. 62 is the roll-off container. 63 is the snap-on vehicle lift. And 64 is authorized execution of the MOU for Chief Scott Weiner.
Excuse me, Mayor, if we can table 064, Captain Reiner is on vacation. He was not able to sign that document, so we will need to table that for the next meeting.
Okay.
In regard to 57.
Wait, let me just finish.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were through.
Nope, 65 paying the bills, $1,033,195.25.
In regard to 57, I'm not going to ask for it to be pulled, but I would just ask Councilman Bombs and Murphy if you can go forward to our fire department folks and just bring this forward, and if they don't have silent fireworks, maybe there's a way to maybe include some of them to reduce the number of percussive sound fireworks, just to have the discussion and see if there's anything that...
I'd be happy to get their opinion.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any motion, a second?
Brown is second.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Garakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
And now I need a motion and a second to table Resolution 64.
Brown.
Seconds.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
64 has been tabled.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Murphy?
Not much to report tonight, Mayor. I'm going to keep it short and brief for you. I will start with DPW. We have bulk pickup for zones 1 and 4. They will be this Saturday, March 12th. Reminder, all paper and cardboard that is out for recycling must be flattened and tied in bundles or in a larger box. We will be giving out warnings shortly per the DPW. Reminder, the week of March 30th, there is no residential recycling as it is the fifth Wednesday. The next zone by zone scheduled brush pickup is not starting until April. Brush cannot be at the curb at this time, and that is bolded and underlined. It can be dropped off at the borough yard Monday through Friday between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. Everybody's favorite, hydrant flushing, is scheduled for April 18th through April 22nd, so be on alert on those dates. DPW is currently working on cleaning, painting, and other work inside Borough Hall. DPW is out filling potholes townwide. You may notice them in your passing. Please wave and say hello. The winter storms have created a lot of issues throughout town, and they are addressing it. Please refer to the borough calendar for all schedules and borough information. Any issues, please call our head of DPW, Jimmy Phillips, at 848-440-0067. Moving on to recreation, not a whole lot for recreation, Mayor. Our next meeting is on March 17th.
When?
Yeah, it's in March somewhere. On March 17th is coming up next week. I'm sure John will have something to add to our recreation report, but I've got Easter egg hunt starting on April 9th. And that time is escaping me. I believe I think they're still working on time. It's probably between 12 and 1.
Yeah,
yeah, probably, usually it's around that time frame. But we'll report back by that time frame. Basketball is wrapping up. If you have not caught any basketball games for our recreation department, they are Saturdays at the Parish Center, and they are a hoot. You have the coaches game this weekend at 11:15 a.m. Come watch some people, especially if you are a first responder. I may need you. We have a townwide garage sale. That's going to be May 14th, 2022. And more information to come on that moving forward. Nothing to report for the first aid, Mayor. I will say that it looks like our first ad hoc emergency committee meeting will be March 23rd, and I'll report after that meeting. That is it for me. I believe Councilman Baums, Councilman Crowley, and Councilman Doherty can report on the rest.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. So, finance personnel, just quickly, Mr. Gracia, Mr. Hergin, and I have a meeting next Friday to talk budget, so that's going to be very exciting and long, probably, and I think Mr. Baum's probably supposed to be invited to that, too. So.
He was.
I am.
And I didn't see you online.
He was at it.
Speak out of turn. Harbor, you see Mr. Smith's not here, so I think that's solid evidence that we have involved our attorney and we're very seriously addressing the situation at the towboat building. Our lease committee visited the towboat building the day after a big rainstorm, and Mr. White has been doing everything possible to make this work. It's been such an effort, and so the attorney's involved in supporting Mr. White, who's been stewarding this process. I don't have anything really further for the harbor. I'll leave that for you, Steve, in terms of harbor finance. But open space will be meeting next week. The Gardening for Wildlife group has a Facebook page now, so it's Wild About Atlantic Highlands Gardening for Wildlife. And we are partnering. We've had a transition to Shade Tree. At the Shade Tree meeting, we talked about how we can have our various commissions, Environmental Commission. I just spoke briefly with Mr. Phillips about really promoting those wildlife habitats throughout the community in a way that is beautiful, but also really good for pollinators and our local wildlife. And I just wanted to point out, because we're the only two gals up here, that it's Women's History Month, and it was International Day of the Woman this week. So shout out to all our ladies making history today and every day. Thank you. Oh, and I am dressed like this on purpose. It's just what's happening in Ukraine is devastating, and I just want, once again, I know the mayor had given our support at the last meeting, but I just want to reiterate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So the only thing that I have to report on the fire department is that the fire department will meet on Monday the 14th. Councilman Murphy already mentioned the task force will meet on the 23rd. Planning board met last Thursday the 3rd. At that meeting, it was agreed that the next planning board meeting would be held here in Borough Hall on April 7th. At that March 3rd meeting, two applications were heard. An application for bulk variance was approved at 12 Summit Avenue, and an application for minor subdivision on East Washington was not approved. The Environmental Commission will meet on March 22nd, so nothing new to report beyond registration for Clean Ocean Action's Beach Sweep is April 9th. Registration is open. Please go to cleanoceanaction.org, sign up and join us. Shade Tree, I have nothing to add to Councilwoman Hornliner's report. And the Parking Committee will celebrate St. Patrick's Day in style with a meeting on St. Patrick's Day. Thursday, March 17th at 7:30. Bring your Guinness. That is all I have to report tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Recreation Committee, the only thing I will add is we're going to be moving forward with a music festival probably in August, looking for bands, probably five bands would like to continue with the local flavor. Mm-hmm. So if anybody is interested in performing, you can reach out to me directly. Or if you're a booker, you can reach out to me directly. The Parking Committee next week. And we invite everybody to attend. You can get the link online. I'll just give you an update that I know that we've reached out again to Wells Fargo with their new administration to see if we can continue entering into an agreement with them to use their parking lot after hours. I know Mr. Farragina is already in talks with the church looking into that as a additional parking that's behind Jasmine's. And I think this coming week we're going to probably include on the agenda at one of our residents' request, looking at harbor shuttles, possibly looking at the cost and complexity of having a shuttle bus, maybe even on a weekend, have to look into fuel and insurance and all that sort of stuff, but running from the harbor up to the business district, maybe during the summer months. And also what we can do to engage more people to walk or ride their bikes in town. Maybe there's a campaign ahead of that that we can get involved with. Technology and communications, the design template has gone off to Zumu. So hopefully within the month, we'll have a live page that the council can look at, weigh in, give your critique on that, what you think of the redesign. So that's hopefully within a month. Also, we'll say that thanks to Jimmy Phillips, we've had four bids come in for the electrical work with the live stream. I just received the bids late yesterday, so I'm looking at them. I'm going to have a phone conversation with our installer for the live stream, as well as I'll have another follow-up meeting with Jimmy Phillips and also our live stream vendor, make sure we're all on the same page and that we are completely agreed on how we want to proceed with the electrical. But I'm happy to say that the bids are reasonable. The first one was unreasonable, and the other three have come in very nice. So we'll have a decision.
Maybe by April meeting?
Assuming all the pieces parts are together, I wouldn't think that it would be unreasonable to say maybe the last meeting of April or beginning of May, just to be on the safe side. But you can see the post-its that are here where electrical needs to go and down here, and trying to make it flexible again for planning board, municipal court, and mayor and council, because each have a different set of requirements and equipment that they want to use and be able to plug in and run with. And the only other thing I'll say is that our regionalization committee has met twice this week, and we have agreed to wait for Hudson, who is doing a report, and they should have that at the end of March, beginning of April, so that we can take a look at that and take that into consideration with whatever we forward to mayor and council.
Hi. Yeah, regarding finances, Ms. Hohenleitner said we're going to be meeting on Friday with our CFO. We'll get some recommendations from him. And at that point, we're going to really, you know, try to adjust that based on our vision for the future with the town. We'll know more after next Friday. On personnel, we do have an ongoing police contract, which hopefully we're going to get squared away before the budget's set, because it will impact the budget. Regarding the harbor, revenues are up about 13% year over year. It's good news. We don't have to play catch up through the year. Mr. Krause gave a report on the Fisheries Commission. They skipped this month. The meeting was postponed, but they don't expect any change in the striped bass regulations. Sea bass is another issue. The quota is going down 20%, so if you're a fisherman, you know, that's not good news. They are increasing the fluke limit, possibly, at the expense of the commercial fishermen. They're increasing it for the resident, the recreational fishermen. Some bad news, we're losing another headboat. The Sea Hunter is retiring, so that's more revenue we're going to lose. There are some things that we're going to have to look at to try to increase revenue and offset some of this. And there are some things going on, hopefully, we'll be able to discuss later. The towboat lease is also being renewed. And as Ms. Hohenleitner said, it seems like some of the other issues have been dealt with. And that final lease will be available soon. Nice thing about the harbor manager is trying to save money. Our bill for insurance in 2019 was $28,000 a year. And even though we had a small increase this year, we changed vendors and it's $22,500. So we're still way ahead. Dump truck we had has been used for salt during the snow. It's just rotted out the bed. It's $40,000 for a new one, but they're going to be able to repair it for $1,800. So, you know, I think, you know, we're doing what we can where we can to save money and make money as well. As Mr. Crowley said on the school board meetings, reorganization, you know, we're finally, I've been doing this since the beginning. It's been 2 years. It's an awful slow process, let's just put it that way. But I think we're starting to get a little bit more fine-tuned in terms of what we want to do. Regarding cannabis committee, I sent out bullet points on what we might want in a proposed ordinance. I did that today, so I'm waiting on the response of the committee members. They need a little time to get that done. And one thing I want to mention about tech, the other day I was listening on shortwave to the BBC broadcast into the Ukraine. It's at 9 o'clock in the morning and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you're into that stuff and you have a shortwave radio. But it made me think, you know, our grid can go down real easy. Right? And if our grid goes down, it's going to be really serious because it impacts food, water, everything. But we could just have another Hurricane Sandy. All right? And everyone's got an AM radio. You got one in your car. You may not want have one in your house. So if we ever get into a situation like that, you know, this is one thing. The internet can go down and we could still have a way to connect and talk to each other. So it just kind of reaffirmed to me the importance of having the AM radio system. You know, there could be other means and as well, but I think this will, for what we want to do, could be very helpful in an emergency. Anyway, with that, I'm done. And Mr. Bones.
And Steve, do you mind? I'll just add real quickly. We are still going to move forward with the test that the OEM has asked us to do. Just waiting for the weather to get warm. We'll get a test unit into town here. It's going to be a $200 shipping fee, basically, to get the unit in, and it'll prove what we did in our earlier test last year. It'll take us just a day to do it. We'll get a temporary antenna up, and so we haven't forgotten about it. We're just waiting for the weather to get a little warmer.
Good. I'm next. There's not much left. Councilwoman Hohenleiter and Barack, Councilman Barack, you already covered finance. Fire emergency services were covered. OEM has not met. Jim covered public works, Celeste's police. For the month of February, there were 1,138 calls for service, which resulted in 8 arrests for the month. During the month of February, officers made 211 traffic stops, issued 44 non-parking summonses and 16 summonses, bringing the total to 60 summonses. Two DWI arrests were made. For this month, there were 21 borough ordinance calls for service during the month. On Tuesday night, Chief Reiner, Lieutenant Murtha, and Officer Hoffman attended a law enforcement job fair hosted by Monmouth County Police Chiefs. And on March 1st, New Jersey's safe passing law went into effect. It requires drivers to provide at least 4 feet when passing vulnerable road users like cyclists and joggers. If you're interested in learning more about the law, you can go to www.beststreetssmartnj.org/updates for more news on that. And with warmer weather, the 25 is 25 rule still in effect. It's not going to change, but there's more kids running around on the streets, playing in the yards, chasing after balls. So be mindful of the speed limit when you're running around town.
No cat rescues?
I don't think there's any cat rescues recently. No dogs, no cats.
Okay, thank you. Professionals.
No report tonight, Mayor.
Okay. Oh.
You guys are making me look bad. Mm-hmm. Five items. The first item is the New Jersey DEP sent out a communication regarding the establishment of a low-income household water assistance program. For qualification requirements and application details, they have created a website link, which we have included on the borough website under the water sewer page. Next item. We attended on March 8th a Zoom call hosted by the Governor's Office, Department of the Treasury, and Senior Governor's staff pertaining to the county and local government budget briefing. They provided an overview of the Governor's budget address before he delivered it later that day. The mayor also attended that call. Next item. We received a communication from JCP&L regarding pre-flight notification. Quote, please be advised that in one to one and a half weeks, weather permitting, Chesapeake Bay helicopters will be mobilizing to the JCP&L region and will begin performing routine patrols on all JCP&L lines. These patrols are anticipated to take approximately 2 weeks to complete, but as always, work is strongly weather-dependent and completion could be impeded by any post-storm or outage-related patrols that may occur. The helicopters to be used for these patrols are Black Hughes MD-500 with tail registration number N-748-CB. Next item. On March 1st, the borough engineer, DPW director, and myself met with the Monmouth County engineering team in Freehold. The following was agreed to. 1. The Ocean Boulevard County Road Route 8 Bridge for 2023 repairs. A sidewalk and rail to be replaced. The bridge resurface with an approximate six-month detour. Next item, they agreed to the wall located on Ocean Boulevard to be repaired, not replaced, but repaired during the same period the bridge repairs occur. Next item, they agreed on Ocean Boulevard street resurface the entire length to be repaved after the bridge work has been completed. Next item, they agreed Mount Avenue County Stone Bridge. The county will respond back to us with an official approval for the borough to install two Victorian-style lights, which is what was there many years ago. The last item on the report, I was in contact with the Monmouth County Park System. There are three signs that belong to the Monmouth County system along the Bayshore Trail that need replacement as they are weathered, faded, and cracking. I connected with Gail Hunton, who heads the Acquisition and Design Department at the Monmouth County Park System. She processed our sign replacement request. Their department is several months behind in sign-making projects due to staffing issues, but they will get them in the queue. Hopefully, it'll be accomplished by the beginning of summer, we hope. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Mr. Perugina, I'm going to make a request to you and our finance committee members. If while you're meeting next week, if maybe you'd be willing to consider engaging a firm that would go for grant writing. And I know we've talked about an employee maybe that could do it, but maybe there's a way, as the finance committee, if when you're thinking about this, if maybe there's a way to incentivize a grant writing company to say, if your fee is normally $25,000 a year, that you have to come in and guarantee that you're going to write $50,000 in grants to help sort of offset that cost. I just make it just as a request. It's not anything more than that, just a kind request to, while you're talking. I know there's so many demands on our budget as it is, but with all the needs and wants that we all want to do, myself included, if maybe there's a way to see if there are additional funds that are out there for the myriad of things, whether it's EV chargers or street repair, sure. Whatever the case. But if you can, I just kindly request that you give that some consideration.
Yeah, no, thank you. We'll definitely look into that.
Okay. I'd like to introduce Tracy Abbey White. Real quick, she is the chair for our Committee for Regionalization. I know moving forward, that I have to have two people represent Atlantic Highlands, and I have her and Sarah Weimer, who, if you don't know, is very versed in that, having Sarah having many years of being on the school board. So could you just stand up really quick and tell your background, and then just a synopsis of
Thank you very much for the time. I know that all of you sit on a lot of committees, so I said to the mayor, I will come and give you guys a little bit more detail about what's going on with this. Mr. Councilman Crowley said he's been involved with this since the very beginning. I was involved with the regionalization conversation, but I sat on the heavy as a school board in the 1990s. So this is not a new discussion. Even going back and forth with this, and the time right now is for us to be a little courageous. So I'm just going to give you a little background of what's happened in the last couple of weeks. Beginning last summer, the mayor put together a committee of individuals to discuss the possibility of regionalization. And the job of the committee is simply to provide the facts. It's not to endorse, it's not to oppose, it's just to say these are the facts. Due to the fact that the law had not been passed yet, we decided to wait until something had happened. So on January 10th of this year, the law passed, and on January 18th, it was formally approved. So the first meeting of the committee was on February 7th. During that meeting, we asked Matthew Cody, the labor attorney that council has appointed, to join us. He was unable to attend, but he did send someone from his office who was able to go through the information that pertains directly to what the law means. He, in his own words, is not versed enough to go through the feasibility study. He suggested that we leverage Porzio for our feasibility questions. So at the conclusion of that meeting, I asked individuals to provide any questions they had on the feasibility study, compiled all of those questions, and circulated it with the committee as well as Porzio. I also realized that we did not have anyone from the school board on the committee. It's very difficult to talk about school boards if you don't have anyone on the committee. So I extended an invitation to the president of Henry Hudson Regional and the president of Atlantic Highlands Elementary School. And if they could not come, please invite someone else to attend on your behalf. So the president of Henry Hudson School Board did attend. The president of Atlantic Highlands Elementary could not. She sent someone in place. She also suggested Dr. Sarah Beans and Janet Sherlock attend. So we all met with Porzio on, by the way, and they did submit some questions. The challenge really was we now had about 60 questions. The questions from the Boards of Ed were good questions, but they were a tad premature. There were questions like, how are we going to handle negotiations? We haven't gotten there yet, okay? So we did say, we will address those later. So Porzio spent about an hour and a half answering all the questions very methodically. Those questions have been recorded. I will provide a transcript for anyone and anyone on council who wants to see the questions that were submitted. Anyone in the public that wants to see the questions that were submitted. More than happy to share them. The challenge we have is we're talking about apples and oranges. The tri-district has applied for a LEAP grant, and they are performing a feasibility study. But they are performing a feasibility study on Atlantic Highlands, and Henry Hudson. Now, the Tri-District was commended by Devin O'Scanlan's team on Tuesday evening because they touted, and they have correctly done such a great job regionalizing, but not officially, but by sharing services, aligning the curriculum. In essence, they've done it, and they have saved as many dollars as they can based on the comments that we heard on Monday evening. So there's not a lot of wiggle room from my own perspective at this point. Adam Seabright, which is really what was the impetus of this entire discussion, which is a couple of things. Now, keep in mind the feasibility study, the numbers in the current feasibility study needs to be adjusted. They are not significant enough for the voters of Atlantic Highlands to say, let's move forward. Those can be adjusted, keep that in mind. If we were to get an influx of students from Seabright, which is something that the Tri-District seriously needs, Henry Hudson Regional is an excellent school, but the graduating class was 38 students. We can't economically sustain that. My children graduated from Henry Hudson, and it's a great school, but at some point, we have to, you as the council have to look out for the whole community. So if we were to regionalize the Seabright, there is a possibility of some additional funding which could help level the tax rate to our community. And some of that money could be used to provide additional educational benefits. And that's really the point of the feasibility study. So while the Congressman Crowell had
no, it's fine. Congratulations, John.
Correct. The Tri-District wants us to wait until the end of March. The challenge, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're waiting for them to bring back a feasibility study for something that they're already doing. And you've got Steve Wright and Highlands who have done a completely different feasibility study. So even if we wait until the end of March, we're still apples and oranges. So you, as a council, are going to have to provide some guidance. Keeping in mind that if we are going to hold town meetings, which Highlands and Steve Wright are doing, we need to do them for the members of Atlantic Highlands, and we need to submit the proposal, the feasibility study, to the Commissioner of Education. She may look at it and say, this is too small, you need to go bigger. The sweet spot for regionalization is 3,000 students. We are still very much below them. But at least if we are open-minded, as Senator O'Scanlan said, and look about bringing in some other students, they can bring in some additional opportunities, at least we're doing the right thing. So I think it's a good idea to have two individuals that are not on the council on this committee going forward. My background is I have been a teacher. I have served on the Henry Hudson Board, and I am beginning my 10th year on the board of Brookdale Community College. So, and in my career right now, I do sales training for a cybersecurity firm. So I'm very passionate about education. I love this town. I love Henry Hudson, and I want it to remain a viable school. But we're at crossroads, and it's going to take some courage on this governing body, and I really hope that you can give us the leeway to do so.
Thank you. And once again, we are still fact-finding,
yes.
And in the end, we're going to bring it to the residents of Atlantic Highlands for them to vote on it.
Yes.
So we're just getting all the facts. I just want to add, too, that Sarah was really instrumental in getting the tri-district together, and that's why I put her on also. So
I agree with everything you've just said, Tracy, except 2 points. One is talking about economic and scholastic advantages by bringing in Seabright. By Porzio's own admission, none of those are likely to happen with these 19 students, or even 25 as they were 2 years ago. So now they're down to 19. So I think we have to eliminate that portion of discussion completely, because even by Porzio's their report, there are no additional teachers coming in,
right?
So there's not, like, you know, people talk about are the taxes going to go down, and is the scholastic experience going to go up for the students? None of that is going to happen by Porzio's own account in their report. There are no guaranteed savings. They've been asked on the record and in executive session and in public session, and there are no teachers coming in. So there's not any football projects that are coming in.
This is a discussion that we need to move forward. What we're right now is we're still in fact finding.
But are you guys suggesting eliminating the committee to down to two?
One thing I will guarantee you, absolutely correct. If we continue to keep it with Henry Hudson Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, there will be no. There's nothing left. They have done everything they can to keep the cost down. The only way.
They're always held up as a beacon of restraint and a beacon of what other people should aspire to, because the shared services are so great that there's very little more that they can do. But to suggest that the school's not sustainable is incorrect, especially with more housing coming in here.
And the mayor is correct in her point, but if you look at their website and you look at the declining enrollment, we're all suffering from it. Any education.
Well, we're going up here. We're going up here, and Seabright's going up.
And you'll help us out. The thing is, we have to be, or you have to be, courageous now and say, you know what, I know some people want it this way, but we have to be open-minded.
But in the end, It's going to be a referendum for the people to vote on. So we're just bringing the facts out there so that we have, you know, an idea of what's going to be moving forward for November, and we'll have everyone decide.
But are you suggesting that the committee go from our current roster of whatever it is, 10 or 12, down to 2?
No.
I'm sorry.
Can we discuss this offline?
Yeah, we don't need to discuss this here.
Absolutely.
The senator discussed this offline.
Thank you. But that's not the facts.
Declan O'Scanlan, Senator O'Scanlan, suggested that there be some offline conversations with smaller groups and then coming back to a larger group.
Correct.
So
that's our group. So. Okay, we can discuss this at another time. All right, thank you. So, moving forward, it's public comment. So, anyone from the public?
Let's get some.
Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. I'd like to thank Tracy, coming to give this report. A report like this should have been given to us more recently than now. I've been asking for these reports for 6 months.
Well, there we couldn't do anything until there was a vote. And well, so, we're,
the, so what I learned tonight is the lawyer that we hired is not qualified to.
That's not true.
That's what she said.
He's a labor attorney, but he's a professional attorney, but it's not as much the area of expertise.
So what I heard was, he by his own admission said, I can't do this.
The gentleman that appeared that night, not the...
He was the lawyer that met...
Matt Jacoby couldn't make it. He sent somebody to step. And the person who came in his place could not...
Was a junior.
Lawyer.
Okay, so sounds to me like the nature. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have somebody qualified to
serve
the information.
Well, we are still answering different questions, too.
So, 4CO is now involved in the situation again?
They've always have been. It's their study.
But Jacoby, the representative from Jacoby, suggested that 4CO be brought back in to the Atlantic Islands?
No.
So, I'm a little... Or if you have anything for this meeting, that just happened on Tuesday.
The second meeting.
The second meeting. Yes.
They were present. You asked them questions about their things they already wrote.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. So they were present at that meeting.
And I'm sorry, Mark, they were present at the first meeting as well on Monday. Not our committee meeting in February, but our first meeting, which was on Monday, and then we had a second meeting on Tuesday.
Right.
And we asked Ruzio a lot of questions about their study.
Okay.
That's correct.
So the meeting on Tuesday, who set that meeting up?
Declan. Yes.
Okay. So why would he ask for that?
To bring all parties together, that we had the people from the Board of Ed, we had Seabright, we had Highlands, we had Atlantic Highlands, to bring them together so that we had a discussion moving forward.
Is that for him to get a better understanding of what's going on or what?
He represents several of the districts, and he's got where it overlaps. I think he wanted to know. He must be getting questions himself.
Okay. He was one of the sponsors of the
That's correct.
Yes.
Thank you. I get off of that, sir. Mr. Ferrantino, I checked C Street's website. Their parking graphic is still wrong. I know you're working on it, just letting you know. The committees that we speak of every meeting, the Green Team, the Cannabis Subcommittee, the School Regionalization Committee, and the Seniors Committee, why aren't they on the agenda? We speak about them every month, but and there's liaisons for all of them. To me, they're just as important as PPW police.
Well, when they do have a meeting, it's not scheduled like a regular meeting, like Harbor or environmental, any of those committees. You know, they don't meet at a regular basis. So when they do meet, we have a report on them.
Okay. The EMS task force, is that March 23rd?
March 24th.
Wait, 3rd.
March 23rd.
March 23rd, 7 p.m., right?
Yep.
I mean, we talked about the EMS issue late last year, trying to take it from March to task force. The task force is trying to fix things, right?
No, the task force is there to find out what will happen at the end of the year if the fire or first aid doesn't come to some kind of, I guess, replacement or...
Sure, I think...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the task force, the idea of the task force is to discuss options of how we can help the first aid, which is currently actively working on fixing the squad to no longer need...
But we as an entity, a council, we can't go in and dictate what they do. They're separate. So we can't, excuse me, in the end, in December, we're going to have to come to a conclusion. And the task force is out there to find out what our options are.
Right, I think the task force will present some options.
That's what it is.
Conclude, and then bring that to first aid.
Where I come from, the task force is go from this.
And that's what they're doing.
Part of that timing thing, what are we going to do at the end of the year?
Well, but it's options. There are options.
Yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Planning board. Mr. Doherty reported the planning board. And I don't get the planning board kudos often, but I have to this time. There was an application to subdivide a perfectly good lot, make it two non-conforming lots, and fill it with two houses, okay? That's called infill. And it's something in our master plan that should be discouraged, is the way it's put. The thing was attempted at 144 Wesley Avenue about a year and a half ago, and they came up, different board, but came up with the same answer. You can't do it. So, it's a good decision on the planning board's part. We don't want to make this our town look like Staten Island by building way too big houses on way too small lots. So, kudos to the planning board. Center Avenue Park restrooms, Mr. Perugina, I haven't heard anything about that in a couple of months. Almost free.
I'll get you a report.
Yeah, if I could just address that very quickly.
Sure.
The while CDBG announced the intention to award the borough that money, it's not in place yet. So we're still waiting for that money to be provided to the municipality, and then we can work together on advancing the plans for it.
Okay. So there are no plans yet.
There's a location selected, there's the buildings program as part of the grant application, but the grading utility, that is not being advanced until
so we have funding.
And the last thing, is there anything on Mother Teresa to report?
Yes, there is. So the government...
Don't get too excited.
The governing body will be issuing an RFP to provide... an RFP for a professional planner to provide insight into possible and or potential usage.
So what does that mean?
Well, you sat down.
So it means the governing body has determined that it's something they want to continue looking into seriously, and in order to clarify what usage as a group they would have consensus on for that facility, they want to hire a professional planner to analyze that potential purchase for what is realistic usage for the borough.
Okay, if I can add to that.
Sure.
So I believe we're going to be issuing an RFP for a professional planner familiar in the area of redevelopment, because if you remember, the borough designated the site as an area in need of redevelopment. And before you would ever move on to any future phases of the redevelopment process, it was at my recommendation of redevelopment council, that you appoint a redevelopment planner who's familiar with the planning end of that, not about the legal end, which we haven't covered, but the planning end of that to determine what uses, as Mr. Farragina said, would be appropriate if you redevelop the property, if you purchase it and redevelop it, so on and so forth.
For whoever purchases it and redevelops.
For whoever purchases it and redevelops. Yeah. So more options on the table for the council.
I think in essence what we're doing by that is exploring what options we have in justifying the purchase of the.
Is there a price range for the RFP?
It's a professional appointment, so it'll be on, you know, an hourly basis. So we're putting out an RFP to see what professionals apply, then the council will make a mayor will make a decision on the appointment, and the council will vote on it. Whenever, yeah, you're the professional. So, yep.
There's no like maximum.
That's we haven't gotten that far yet.
Thank you.
Between 2015 West Lincoln Avenue, what Mr. Crowley brought up or Councilman Crowley brought up before about the grant writing fund, I think, I don't think we need to think about it. We have to, like, hold behind the eight ball with funding that's coming out of the grant. And funding also coming out of DC, which hasn't come out yet. But I know of a town in Monmouth County, they have a grant writer. It's not that much money. And that's what they do. They know what's coming out of Washington, and they know what's coming out of Trenton. And also for something at the county level. But for instance, I know one town there's a grant out there for towns that are on the water. For access for handicapped people to the beaches. There's another one out there which I don't want to tell you more, but whatever. There's one actually that's going for right now that it's for to buy and supply apparatuses for the fire department. And not one or two, they're reaching out to like three or four different things that they need. And to me, I think it would be an injustice for the town if you do not buy one. I mean, if you're talking about 25,000 to 50,000, and they can get an apparatus for it, my understanding of the towns I spoke with last year, the fee was $25,000 from the fund, and they got just shy of $2 million in grants. I don't think you should weigh on that. I don't think you should be tossed around. I think they can charge you a couple of funds, see what they can do. And you know what I would do too? They always ask, well, what are you looking for? And in the master plan. Tell them that we need fire or whatever, and let them do it. I mean, to me, that's just it makes sense. It's stuff that could be taken off your plate in the budget, even stuff on the harbor. The harbor's going to need to be dredged. There's grants out there for that. And it's just, to me, it would be a win-win situation for everybody, especially with all these things that some of the committees want to do and everything. There's going to be a grant to fund the projects they want to do. So I encourage the council and the mayor. Not that I'm getting support, but I'm just encouraging you to get one of these as soon as possible. But when the stuff starts coming out of PC, we're not left behind.
Mm-hmm. I think Mr. Farragina is trying to have someone in house.
Yeah, I know that. But the thing is, too, you have somebody in house. You don't have, have a grant writer and then have somebody to file and whatever. I think. And I'm sorry, maybe people won't agree, the women and the people in this federal hall are stretched so thin. It's, I can't even see what they get done during the day on how much they all work and how many hats they wear and how much money they get paid for it. And I think it would be a great idea. But the thing is, you want a fund that already knows what is out there and what you have to do to get it. Not somebody to learn or somebody to call upon to hire a writer. You call for and ask them questions. I think you should go out, even if it's for a year. Let's see what we get in a year. And if it doesn't work out, then hire somebody who can clean the toilets and fire, whatever you need. But I mean, really, there's money out there that they want to give away. Mm-hmm. And if we can have somebody write these things for us for 25 to 50 grand, I don't get it why there's. I wouldn't want somebody in house at that point, mm-hmm. because you're going to be paying them more money. And the other thing is with the reorganization of the
regional.
And then just because I don't understand. I understand a lot about the education process. But I don't understand. Does anybody know why Trenton created this bill in the first place and the purpose behind it? Does anybody know? Tracy, do you know that, well, basically because there are 544 school districts and it's getting out of control, and you have to do something to consolidate to not only provide better patient, but reduce the cost. We all look at our tax bills, and I know my tax bill 50% of it is school costs. It's no education. I'm not proud. I'm not against education, but that's the reason. And there's also a problem you saw lately in Salem. They're doing a pilot by county. I mean, it could end up, you know, becoming countywide. So that's, it's really,
so that's the reason behind it. I think it's great, and I'm pro-education as well. But what I don't understand is, why are we spending this money, wasting people's time?
We all this is from, well, not necessarily for a Jacobin, but yeah, most of the money was already from a grant.
Okay. People's time and energy. Because as far as I know, and I did read for them, that's what they want to create. Taking 19 kids, and it could be less next year, it could be even more people. And we're talking from, right, kindergarten to 12th grade. Is that what we're talking? 19 kids? That's not going to put a dent in it,
right,
and it's not going to save anything. What I encourage this committee to do is say, okay, so we have a handle on what's going to happen to us. In my understanding, as it was, Tracy, is that they create this to make larger
establishments.
Not the most great and Highlands already here, and create this teeny little thing with 19 more people, and all three schools, well, Seabrook doesn't have a school system. The two school systems, or the charter district, is going to be in the next one. Over 19 kids? I think what the committee should start to say is, okay, let's take the whole bottle of forms and say, okay, we're going to likely, we're going to absorb us into the Middletown School District. So let's put our demands out where we want in order to do that. Because they're actually being directed from Trenton, Middletown, to make their district bigger. And where are they going to go? They're going to be going to these districts. They're going to be going to us. So my point is, you're wasting all this time now, don't put it on a ballot for the taxpayers to vote on it, because I think it's important because you're listening to the constituents. But that's money to put on a budget. But we're not the money and time and hours that even maybe Michelle is doing, this is far from what it's ever called. That's money that's wasted. Because the thing is I had met somebody, a couple people coming from State Bridge. They called me on the talk show, and one of the things that I said to them is, all right, so we do this, and in 3 years, 4 years down the line, we're absorbed. So everything that we change in the school district, all of that is wasted on, within 5 to 10 years, our school district is going to be somewhere else. It's just a fact. So I don't know why everything's opening up for a few over 19 or 25 kids from one fucking high school. We're not going to stay in our houses. To me, it follows me why we're even here at this point. We should be taking, like I said, the board of boards and discussing the larger school districts on what we want for our kids. And are you acceptable? You go to one of them, vote. Are you acceptable? Yep, that's all of our demands. And send them in. But we'll be some kind of money. I don't get it. I actually don't get it. Because that's what's going to happen.
There's a lot of us actually that agree with you on that, and that's kind of where it's, can't say where it's going because it's not there yet, but I think a lot of people are seeing exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
you're gonna,
I just want to sit down with you. I thought that
it makes sense.
And all the other reasons too, I'm just going to throw that out there. I think that they just didn't want to make the decision, so they kicked it back to the town. And I think that they all think we sit here like, you know, we're from Pensacola Junction, so we know exactly what we're doing in the train. And it's hard. Look at what the hell's going on. Everybody is this way. It's terrible. It's hard. You know, enough. Yeah. The bigger picture is to make county schools, and that's what we show up with. Not to bring 19 kids from Seabright.
You're right.
And then also I understand that I read part of the first 300 and some odd pages here. And I didn't get to the cliff notes yet, but they turned around into a three part of the study. But they don't talk about, and you know, and Chris knows, and I'm going to go for anybody who has a disability, or even gifted and talented kids that can't stay in the district because they're too smart for them. They don't factor that in either, because the schools now in Rutgers that take those special ed kids, and they have 3 or 4 degrees by the time they're going to be in 12th grade. So when people go, well, we can't ask about that. If you ask them how many kids have disabilities, if you don't have to know their names, and we all know, we dealt with school boards, they're usually given numbers anyhow. And there are kids that are on the other end of that, that are very smart, but have to be sent out too. So if you can factor in the cost of the education and the also the transportation, which you know, just even the rear end, just find one of those kids. So I encourage that task force to say, you don't even have to ask, it's already, you have to ask about Seabright for the force of the town. But everything else that they're headed for, these bigger districts, you don't have to put it on a plan. You just have to get our act together and tell them what we want, why we want to welcome to another school district. Thank you.
I just want to say, you're thinking, and I want to reiterate what Councilman Baraki just said, you're thinking about a larger regionalization plan with more communities aside from Seabright is I believe exactly the way to go. Mm-hmm. But what I have to just also say, because we've been talking about finance committee all night, I have to put this out there that when you all meet, to please consider setting aside $25,000-$26,000 for this referendum for the 19 children at Seabright, because the referendum costs are not cheap. Now, Seabright, interestingly, because they commissioned their own study and they got their LEAP grant, their referendum is paid for. We did not commission our own. We piggybacked. We helped finance theirs, their first draft of it anyway. We didn't commission our own. We looked at theirs. We weighed in on it. Now we're waiting for Hudson to weigh in with their findings, with their own study. We're going to be on the hook for $25,000-$26,000 for a referendum. So when the finance committee is meeting, that's something else that you have to consider if we're going to do a referendum for the 19 kids of Seabright.
And sometimes you also have to look at the communities next to us. Because when I was on the street, and I did at the same time we were on another one, is that there was a town that overlooked some of their children. And we had to push them and say, this is, you have to speak up now because this is a backward town. The part of what I heard in the study is, and I don't know if they know, that they're going to be losing like the Watch Key program. Yeah. They could be losing three lunches. They could be losing all of that. And I don't even think they have a clue about that. And now they've got three young kids, and they need that. So I'm just, you know, maybe at this next meeting or something, and I know that they're not open to the public, but at the next meeting, like, the town board meetings are all those special scenarios that have this happened in the Secret, and that's one of them. So once you have a good individual account,
We haven't scheduled ours yet.
Oh, okay. One of times has.
Yeah.
Highlands will have one of these cable. So we can go to that if we want to ask for those.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Cool. Yes. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mayor, as part of the committee, this committee here, are you looking into confirming that Seabright is our best option as well? Is just the idea of regionalization?
You know what? This has been going on before.
No,
I'm
aware. No,
so we are just moving forward with what was in place when Mayor LeBrice is here. And, yeah, we would, you know.
Yeah, I was just making that point.
Tracy Abbey White. That was like one of the things that she, yeah, absolutely.
It's not my own to go now.
Okay.
Sure.
I think that's important, right?
Yes, yeah. We all agreed in the very first meeting, again, based on the stats, 3,000 is the sweet spot.
Right. We're not hitting.
We're definitely not getting there with just the three already registered. And you're right, Seabright's not going to make a difference, really.
And we're surrounded by smaller communities, right?
Yeah.
So getting the smaller communities
and
could possibly avoid all of us being swallowed up by the bigger Middletown.
Yes.
And I did approach Middletown, and they kind of laughed and said, well, you know, if anything, because as if anyone's been on school boards, a lot of it has to do with busing. And they said, since they have Monmouth Hills, that they would take Highlands Hill because it's on the route. But they are not interested in all that kind of stuff.
So I'm sure the committee will exhaust all options.
Can I ask a quick question too about these meetings? You have two meetings this week.
Is there a transcript or minutes of these meetings that can be shareable?
I did the first meeting transcript, so I cannot say that it was that. It was just my meeting. And yeah, it's going to be out. I did it on Google Docs so everyone can see it.
Right.
More than happy to share it with you.
Yeah.
I will be more than happy to share the transcript from the Monday meeting because I had that one. And then the next meeting was Senator O'Scanlan. He didn't.
Yeah,
but I don't have that.
They're not meetings that are subject to the Open Public Meetings Act.
Got it.
That's the question.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm hearing slightly different interpretations of what was discussed and what was said, and that, you know, I know.
Well, you can hear, I'll give you the recording.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's, you know, one of the things that we want to make sure is, again, we're not opposing or endorsing, we're just trying to get the facts out.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, I don't have a problem with the smaller, if we're on the same page in terms of Declan talking about smaller breakout groups than coming back to the larger group. If that smaller breakout group is you and Sarah, I think you two will be fine and will do a commendable job for our committee. You both are very smart, very qualified. I wanted to make sure I wasn't understanding that the larger group was being disbanded. But if it's that smaller breakout group that Declan was talking about, I think you two will do great. And I think that the committee that the mayor's put together, there are a lot of smart people on that group and looking out for the best interests of town and the kids. And I think that our two meetings where we wound up at the end of both meetings, I think was the right decision. I get a little worried with the pushing of the resolution and the referendum, only because I haven't heard from Hudson yet. Mm-hmm. I really want to hear from Hudson, and I think our committee, our committee, I think, really wants to hear from Hudson, and then you can go and make an informed decision about what do you want to do. Do you want to go forward with a resolution and then a referendum, or maybe not? That's still a big question mark. We have to see what they want to say.
We're still at the fact finding.
Yes.
And Mayor, just really quick, I do want to commend you for saying that feeling interested in the rest of Lincoln Avenue. I do, because you have too. And I don't think a lot of times people in the residents of Atlanta County would understand this. You have Tracy Happy White and Sarah Weimer, who have phenomenal background.
They sure
what
do.
What is going on now because they were all in the full front, especially Tracy in this park. Long time ago,
and they couldn't even pay somebody with the
qualifications
that
those two have.
So
right,
Does CME have a grant writing division?
We absolutely apply for and obtain and manage several grants, but we also work with communities that work directly with grant writing firms. So I think depending on the grant programs, that there's strengths and weaknesses to whichever route you go through. But yes, we do write. We write several grants for the borough annually. DOT. CDBG work with county open space, so that's just here for Atlanta County. But yes, we do write a lot of grant applications.
So to what Councilman Crowley was saying, we took it one step further, and CME was basically told, go find us money. That's in your wheelhouse?
Engineering-related activities, absolutely. Planning, grants, yes.
Good information. And just I meant to bring this up before, but there was a newspaper article that just came out today in the patch, and it's all the money that was released from the state of New Jersey for school aid. And I'll just list a couple. Highlands is going to lose 25% of their money. They're only going to get $293,000. Henry Hudson, they're down 11% to $557,000. Include Monmouth Beach only because it's part of the big discussion. They're actually gaining 3%. They're going to get $213,000. Shore Regional, again, part of the discussion. they got a 14% increase to 841,000. And Atlantic Highlands Elementary School gained 50.5%, and they're going to get 273,000.
Declan went over some of the numbers and said that they were, he never said how much, he just said that the Highlands and Hunter Hudson were producing.
Yeah, and there's a whole article on how the governor, and I guess it was the commissioner of education, came up with these numbers, but it sounds like they're playing catch up. Mm-hmm. So what, I don't know, but I'll have to read the article a little more in depth.
Okay, thank you.
First online attendee with a hand raised, Mr. Weinsler.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Josh Weinsler, 60 South Drive. Tuesday, the county commissioners approved $250,000 to put in the sheriff's emergency transmitter at Atlantic Highlands Elementary School, which I had not heard about. And so I think that answers the question of where the best place in town is to put a transmitter. But maybe, I don't know what effect the transmitter will have if there were any environmental issues, but combined with the pollution from Leon's carpet cleaning that I hear still has to be abated in at the elementary school, maybe it's time to reconsider whether the elementary school should be moved over to another treatment site. So that's the first thing. The second thing I had is a question about can police have to wear body worn cameras, but is the borough empowered to ask other employees to wear body worn cameras?
I don't know.
I don't.
You're certainly not required to.
No, but I think maybe the zoning officer should be required in some way to report all these interactions. The code enforcement, you just appointed. Now that you're empowered to require vaccinations from your employees, do you intend to do that? Do you require the employees all be vaccinated?
Council, you don't have to answer about policy questions if you haven't decided on anything you want to.
Okay.
Well, have you done anything to immune? We're told that there are people who are not vaccinated, so have you done anything to, protect the public or ameliorate that situation in any way?
Not at this time.
Well, that's not true. That's not what the question was. Have we done anything to protect the public? Which you have. You had a mask mandate for a long time. And all the government, the higher government offices are doing away with all those things, usually, at this point. So.
But is it the policy of the council to follow like guidelines? What policy do you follow? You have the power to require everyone to be vaccinated, which you say you're not doing. So what guidance do you use?
In the past, I know that we look to our OEM.
Right, so we have received and inquired with our OEM of what she recommends. We've also, our mask guidelines have exceeded what has been required of us both on a state and a federal level. At this point in time, they're not in place, nor are we required to have them in place. But it's constantly something that we adhere to when we are mandated to do so in terms of restrictions and guidelines from the federal government.
Well, that's good, because, this is going to happen again. It's happened in the past, and it's going to happen again. So I just think the borough want to have a policy in place so there won't be a delay in the event of another one like we had with AIDS and we had, SARS and all that stuff. And so those are my three things, but I just want to say quickly, you know, it's the job of our elected representatives on the state and local level to keep the borough informed of those grants opportunities. I mean, what do we elect them for? They're passing the legislation, they have the programs, their offices should be letting everyone in their constituency know what's available for us to apply for. We should have to hire another level of employees to do something. We have the state reps, we have the congressman. I would think you should have a contact. I mean, I speak to Congressman Cuomo's office, and even Peter, I communicate with him. You should find out who in their offices is on top of it, and inform me. Then you don't have to hire another person. And I raised, as you know, so I'll say it again, that I think we need to regionalize the schools and improve them by replicating the special. I don't see the point of rationing the higher end curriculum. There are more people who are able to do what High Tech High offers, and there are spaces in the school. I think, you know, Middletown, Rumson, Fairhaven, Seabright, Atlantic Highlands, and Red Bank should consolidate or go over the Bayshore, and we should replicate each one of the special schools. High Tech High, Communication, Health Sciences, Mass, and I think so half the kids would probably go to these high-end curriculums, and it would curriculum, and it would be better, it would be, we'd have better education for less cost. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Krause?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Jim Krause, 77 Bayside Drive, reporting in on Zoom from Ocean County. I realize that the technology that you have is temporary. Not sure how long it will be in place, but I just want to make a comment on the experience tonight, which is somewhat similar to my experience 2 weeks ago. And I'm not doing this to criticize anybody or offend anybody, but you know, to hopefully to improve the present Zoom experience. And perhaps change where the mics are or move some people closer to the mic. With one exception, the sound from the dais is terrific. That one exception, sorry Doug, is Mr. Rohmeyer. Perhaps his microphone has to be changed or moved. The people calling in on Zoom, the sound is terrific. The weakest point is the sound from the audience. Tracy Abbey White was coming through very well, at least in her initial presentation. When she spoke later, it was a little more difficult to hear. Mr. Fisher and Mrs. Keelan, very difficult to hear. The only way I could hear what they were saying was by turning my sound up. I suspect that maybe they were not near a microphone. And I heard virtually nothing when the spice was moving.
Silent fireworks.
That's why you didn't hear anything. I think it has to do with where we're standing when we speak, Mr. Krause. And if everybody comes up to the front, I think that should be.
But eventually, I would say by May,
except
April,
for spice.
May, we will have.
I know.
Well, look, for anybody in here that comes to a meeting and all of us up on the dais, you got to move your mics closer to your face. Doug, you too. But for the members of the public, in all seriousness, the reason Tracy was able to be heard was because she was closest to the microphone that's in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. The plan of action is to continue to use that microphone. It means that from now on, when you want to come and make a comment, you'll have to come forward and make your comment.
Morgan,
and Morgan did. Morgan, I don't know why case.
The good news
maybe because you were turned
on. This is getting fixed. So
well, but to a reason, we're, you know, look, one of the reasons our bid came in at a reasonable rate is because we're trying to tie in with our existing equipment. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but it will mean that Regina, next time, Ms. Keelan, next time you want to make a comment instead of staying in your seat, you'll just have to come forward.
They couldn't hear you.
Shocker.
Pros and cons to that.
Thank you, Mr. Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Krebs.
Okay.
No one's here.
Muriel. Ms. Smith, can you hear us?
Hello, Ms. Smith.
We can hear you. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then, there's my next question. Probably most of my questions were answered by the whole discussion on regionalization, but 45 minutes ago, the mayor said that the question is definitely going to be on the referendum. Are you talking about definitely it's going to be on the referendum in November, or is that just a casual?
November.
So is that going to be on the referendum this November?
That's what we're scheduled for.
I don't think we can say definitely at this
point.
I'm saying we're scheduled for that.
Okay.
There is.
If we were going to do a referendum, it would be in November.
Correct. If we were able to do it, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're going to do a referendum, so it's not definite that you are going to do a referendum?
I think as a committee, we've said that we're going to wait for Hudson to come in with their report, and then we'll make a recommendation. And then I wouldn't be surprised if the mayor is going to try to ask the council to do that. And at that point, the council will make a decision. That'd be my guess. But I don't think anybody at this point can say that there's definitely going to be a referendum. But it's definitely in mind to do a referendum. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
But Morgan did say there's definitely going to be a referendum.
It's a question of timing.
We are working on toward the goal of having it on as a referendum this November. That is our goal.
Okay. But it's not a definite thing. What's the deadline for
August 15th.
August 14th.
14th. August
14th. August 14th, okay. And second, we have to take some kind of action. I guess you just have to vote for it, right? As a council.
Mm-hmm. We have to have a resolution. It has to go in front of the Commissioner of Education.
Okay. Oh, right. Same thing with the other two towns have done.
Correct.
Right, okay. Terrific.
That's
my only question. I was surprised to hear you say it was definitely
going to
be a referendum on the referendum.
That is our goal. That has been the goal for a while.
Okay, goal. That's a good thing.
Yes.
And I don't want Regina to feel bad there. I have no problem here with Regina.
Thank you. Okay.
But I agree with everything else that Jim Krause said about the sound tonight. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
No other hands raised.
All right.
Very nice. One more.
Very nice.
Well done.
Sure.
Online. Everybody heard that.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Jeffrey King. I'm actually a resident of Eaton Town, Point of Boyle, Elizabeth Park Bay. I'm sorry I missed the special meeting last month. I did read the journal article about it, and I think it's a great discussion that you guys are having. You've taken your time, you've banned cannabis industry when there was uncertainty of the regulations, and now that they're becoming more clear, I think the same logic would apply, in my opinion. There's a few points, I think, that are key. I heard you're looking for grant money. So the revenue that is available from the industry is undeniable. I don't think that is my motivation, but I think that is evident in the room that right now cannabis is being sold on the underground market and not taxed all around everywhere. And I think that we could put that money into the schools and help wherever the children end up educated. Programs could be funded with that. I like Joey Miles, and I like Carton, and I like Harborside and all that, and I think it's great. And I come from out of town.
Joey Miles.
Well, whatever. I think the police do a great job, though, enforcing the laws with alcohol and pharmaceuticals. I think that it's very safe, and I don't see why we wouldn't do the same thing with cannabis. Everything I heard about medical cannabis, I completely respect how enlightened and caring, compassionate you are for that. So I would hope that you would really encourage a medical dispensary for the sick and suffering among us. As far as my vision for a cannabis dispensary here for healthy people, I think if you could somehow encourage a local business like the brewery, where you have people who grew up in the community and care and want to make it better and improve everyone's lot, I think that's what I would hope for. And that's a tricky thing to fight for, because there's a lot of multi-state operators and big corporations like we've seen in other vice industries. And I don't equate cannabis necessarily with a vice, but it is probably for adults, unless it's a medical need, which helps all ages. But I think you get my point. I'm in favor of you moving forward on it. The people have really embraced cannabis, and if you think that we didn't vote for the industry, then we must think we voted for home grow. So I want to hear support for one or the other, please. Thank you, Pine.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And welcome.
Thank you. There's an additional hand raised.
Okay.
This is LeftyGrimesSativaCross.org.
Left?
Hello?
Good evening, Council.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Edward Lefty Grimes. I'm with Sativa Cross. We're an advocacy group for disabled rights and for cannabis patients' rights. I spent the day in transit, actually, advocating for wheelchair access. And we as patients, support anything that will help us to get our medicine better, whether it's a recreational dispensary, medical dispensary, whatever can help patients get their medicine easier, especially people in wheelchairs that are hurting, people with cancer, people that are homebound that really have a hard time getting out, people with no money, poor people, people on the bus, fixed incomes. These are who cannabis patients are, and they need your help. They've been left behind pretty much by the industry. Patients have been forgotten about as far as home grow and a lot of issues. And we really need your help, and anything you can do to help patients, I totally support. And thank you for the open and honest discussion on this, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? No. Okay, well, I need a motion and a second.
Murphy?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
To, should be bombs. Yeah.
Second.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. For adjournment, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Come on! Thank you.
2 minutes.
Boom! 2 minutes. Boom! That is because you did not return to India.